Today on Seculo, it's shocking. Did the Department of Justice try to tamper with a witness in the Hunter Biden investigation?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. PAC show, Congressman Mike Johnson will be joining us. Rick Rinnell will be joining us as well about what's happening in Europe and in Russia. With Zelensky saying the war is now going into Russia. There have been drone attacks in Moscow over the weekend. And also over the weekend, some interesting moves by the Department of Justice. If you are Devin Archer, a former business associate of Hunter Biden, who was convicted of something separate, unrelated to Hunter Biden, with an Indian reservation he was doing Indian tribes business with, and some fraud there, and a year in prison. And the Department of Justice this weekend, he hasn't decided on the appeal yet. So the Department of Justice said, when should he report? Now, here was the interesting timing. He gets a letter literally on Saturday from the Department of Justice, not on Friday, so not a work day. It's always interesting when the DOJ is working on the weekend. Usually they don't like doing that. But they're working on the weekend. They send this official letter over. When should he report? Now, literally, he is scheduled to testify right now, which he is doing, to the House Oversight Committee behind closed doors about his business relationship with Joe and Hunter Biden. So then on Sunday, the Department of Justice had to rewrite a letter and say, no, we weren't actually trying to intimidate you as a witness. We knew you were testifying to Congress. We weren't saying that you should have to report to, then there he is walking in, report to prison before the testimony. So, Dad, what people are saying is even this letter alone is witness tampering.
Well, I mean, what's ridiculous about it, and this is where, and of course they had it self-correct, was that you know the guy's going in to testify before the House Oversight Committee. So why don't you just, the Department of Justice, say nothing right now? You've not notified the court of an impending sentencing date and report date until literally 48 hours before he goes in to the House Oversight Committee. And then on Sunday, they get so much pushback that on Sunday they say, hey, we don't want this to be viewed basically as witness tampering. So, of course, we're not interfering with his ability to give testimony to Congress. It just is part of a practice, and this is the problem with all of this. They are making these moves that are so aggressive and so outrageous that they're not even thinking about the consequences of their own actions. And that's why you see a Saturday move that you saw with Devin Archer, who the testimony could be devastating for the Biden family. We don't know that yet. I'm sure the committee's finding that out right now. But, you know, you talk about DOJ weaponization. That was a pretty good example of it.
Yeah, I mean, they actually had to write to the judge. The government understands that the defendant is scheduled to provide testimony to Congress tomorrow, July 31st. That's today. To be clear, the government does not request and has never requested that the defendant surrender before his congressional testimony. So why on earth would you send a letter on a Saturday about surrendering and scheduling the surrendering?
Because they don't care. Because they believe that everybody's supposed to operate at the Department of Justice's convenience. That's how they view these things. Personally, I think it's outrageous. Having said that, I think the reality is you have to look behind it. What is it that got them to push so aggressively on the report date and the sentence date
on a Saturday,
48 hours before he's going
to
testify.
Just listen to this real quick. I mean, James Comer, the Oversight Committee Chair, was asked by Maria Bartiromo, like, have you ever seen this happen before?
Nope.
Do you usually see the DOJ send letters like this out on a Saturday?
Never. This is the first time I've ever heard of the Department of Justice doing anything on a Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, this is where they're treating Devin Archer's unrelated case, which is, I think he got a year in prison. He can appeal that, by the way. There's appeals left. And they know he's testifying on a Monday, and so they go to work on Saturday with letters to the judge about getting a sentencing hearing scheduled. I mean, even if they weren't trying to stop his testimony Monday, it could be witness tampering by just saying, it's time to put you in prison. You understand that, folks? We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Congressman Mike Johnson believes that the committees need to return to Washington, D.C. to hold hearings. He's going to join us in the third segment of the broadcast. We'll be back taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Final day of our matching challenge at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back. back to secular. So you want your government to have more power to continue to spy on what are supposed to be foreigners, but now we have uncovered, I mean, really under the Trump years and leading up over these last 6 years, how many times there's been abuse of FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was put in place really post 9/11. This was, again, to target terrorism abroad, foreigners, not U.S. citizens with constitutional rights. But what we saw was these moves by the Department of Justice to declassify you as an American, basically, and classify you as a foreign national or working on behalf of a foreign national and thus giving up your rights somehow. Remember, these were secret hearings the government would go to get a warrant to wiretap. Remember all the masking and unmasking, all these terminologies that we learned about what was happening under the FISA system, which had basically gone under the radar since 9/11 because we were in a continuous war with Islamic terrorism until about halfway through the Trump administration,
yep,
when ISIS was finally destroyed. And we've seen, thank God, a pretty much a quieting down recently
of that,
of the whole war and over the whole world of violent extremists being able to be very powerful. Of course, we saw ISIS-K in Afghanistan and the withdrawal, but limited. Their role has been limited in their ability to attack Americans.
So what's interesting about 702, what it provides is the FISA court. And the FISA court is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Government comes in, said, we need a warrant. You're supposed to be a foreign person for surveillance purposes. But they often put Americans in there. They have had a series of misuse and abuse, including most recently surveilling a U.S. senator, a sitting U.S. senator. Okay, pretty aggressive. There are no lawyers for the defense there. It is a what we call a star chamber. And I think, Harry, at this point in American jurisprudence and the American legal system, we don't have a role for star chambers anymore because the abuse is just too big, too significant.
Jay, I think your analysis is spot on. And so the FISA Section 702 is set for renewal this December. And I believe it should be voted down overwhelmingly on a bipartisan basis. The FBI has a distinguished record of abuse, and this abuse has been approved by upper-level officials in the FBI and the Department of Justice. In 2021, virtually 50% of the searches engaged in under Section 702 have involved Americans.
Which was never the purpose of the statute. I want to be clear on that. But the FISA court's gone along with it.
Absolutely. So my own view is this particular system is irredeemably corrupt. And so it needs to be removed. And we need to go back to the United States Constitution, which protects us from unwarranted searches and seizures. Force the FBI, force the Justice Department to engage in proper behavior. Keep in mind, they have had a distinguished record, as I suggested earlier. Who can forget Operation Hurricane? Who can forget the Russia collusion hoax? The Bob Mueller inquiry, the Ukraine phone call that triggered an impeachment, the unmasking of Americans by Sally Yates and others.
Yep.
And so given this record, I don't think this particular system can be reformed, notwithstanding the president's committee suggesting it could be.
And most recently, the whole thing with the Senate, a sitting U.S. senator being, you know, surveilled by the FBI. I mean, this is absurd. Now, let me tell you what we've done. So the ACLJ back in December of last year commenced an investigation of the FBI's FISA abuses as it relates to FISA abuses. So under the law, the FBI can go to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, also called FISC, and get permission to spy on foreign individuals through access to raw data, phone calls, text messages, emails, etc. The law is also quite clear in protecting the privacy rights of American citizens and respecting the provisions of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is where the Due Process Clause has come out of. As a matter of fact, it is against the law to spy on an American using the provisions of the Act. So what have we done? We have now gone to court. As we've noted, and Wall Street Journal noted as well, the FBI performed millions of searches of Americans' electronic data with no warrants. So when you have all this together, we filed a federal lawsuit to get to the bottom of this. We are in court right now. We just filed the lawsuit in December of last year It is entitled American Center for Law and Justice versus the FBI, and it's a complaint for declaratory and adjudicative injunctive relief. We're taking this seriously, folks. We're going to get to the bottom of it and share that information with Congress.
Yeah, I mean, people are rethinking, again, powers that were given to the government when we were facing this new onslaught of Islamic terrorism. And we remember 9/11. We remember the attacks that followed. We fought those wars for decades. And my generation, that's where we grew up. We grew up with this idea that, you know, this is terrorism could hit you at a nightclub. It could hit kind of like how Israelis have to deal with it on a basis. We were dealing with it here in the United States. Europe was dealing with it. Christmas markets, random attacks in London. Remember all of that. And the train attacks. And again, we were fighting two wars, in Afghanistan and Iraq. You also have to rethink constantly when you give these kind of powers over to government. And as those battles against Islamic terrorism began to wind down, we saw that they were continuing to use this in an abusive way against Americans. And I don't think that in any of these cases did this make America any safer.
No.
This was political persecution, which is always something we've had to watch the FBI over.
I think the truth of the matter is, and this is what we have to be clear, a star chamber, that is a legal proceeding without defense lawyers present, is ripe for abuse. And unfortunately, the FBI cannot be trusted with what they have done here. And what they've done here is wrong. It is, in my view, illegal. It violates the due process clause of the Fourth Amendment, Harry. And I think the reality is the American people are not safer because of this.
I think you're precisely correct. And if you basically go through the report provided by the President's Intelligence Advisory Board. This is the board that has made recommendations to President Biden. Their report, in substance, agrees with your analysis. The PIB report shows a series of compliance mistakes, a lack of strong oversight, and the inappropriate use of the FISA system by the FBI. You can translate inappropriate use to mean a violation of the law and a violation of the United States Constitution. I think that has what has been going on precisely at the FBI, and therefore this surveillance system should not be renewed.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Joe is calling in from California on line one. Hey, Joe.
Hi, thanks for the call.
Sure.
What does the team think of Trump's defense team thus far, and what motions would you advise going forward?
I don't criticize other lawyers, because unless you're in the fight, you know, bobbing and weaving, so to speak, in the ring, it's very easy to give Monday morning quarterback or suggest they do this or that. I think, look, you got a complicated situation. You've got to look at this way. You've got a major indictment out of Florida from Jack Smith's office, the special counsel. So you've got a team that's defending the document case. That document case has become more complex in light of the additional charges. I don't see how they charge it in March while they're adding charges and still investigating purportedly. Then we're expecting, like, any day, people are saying it could be tomorrow, another indictment from the special counsel's office on the January 6th matter. I think that raises serious First Amendment issues. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, the ability to petition your government for redress of grievances. All of that will come into play if that indictment comes down. Then you got the New York indictment, which I think was a bunch of nonsense, frankly. And then you got this Fannie Willis, Georgia indictment, which I'm thinking is going to be some kind of state RICO claim. But it's another one of these things that the former president has to defend. So, you know, I don't know who's quarterbacking the entire operation. That's what you need. What I did, and Jordan, you know this because you were on the team, my job primarily was I had supervision of all of them to make sure everything was on track and that no teams were running into each other. And we had a sophisticated legal team. I think one of the best legal teams ever assembled for anybody, including a president.
Something we're going to talk about later on the broadcast, though, is the onslaught. I mean, this
it is an onslaught.
The historic fact that you've already got Florida and federal charges, New York state and local charges, likely Georgia, another state local charge, and then another federal charge in D.C. So when people come under legal onslaught, yep, you think of one major federal case, maybe one state case. This is four,
right,
that we're likely going to see by the end of the summer. Four massive cases with all these different schedules. All these different so when you ask like what
sounds
motion
like Venezuela.
To, when you ask really what does. Motion to file, it's like, well, let's start a list. What case are you talking about?
We'll discuss that in the last segment. Let me say this. We are hours away from our midnight matching challenge deadline. So this is a very important day for us. This is the moment that any gift you give will be doubled, and it could make the difference of us meeting our goal or falling short. The reality is we can't fight these battles without you. Go to ACLJ.org for that. Tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the band will be performing, the J Secular Band, JSB as we call it, for our midnight, for the concert. We always do that the last day of the matching challenge. And then tomorrow begins a new month and an exciting new undertaking for the ACLJ, focusing on two issues that you, our ACLJ members, have said matter the most to you. And we're taking on a monumental new case right out of the headlines to launch this brand new effort. We'll have that information tomorrow. But go to ACLJ.org right now and support the work of the ACLJ.
Thank you. We are taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We talked about these letters from the Department of Justice to the former Biden business associate Devin Archer over the weekend. Saturday letters from the DOJ about when he needs to report to prison, and then a Sunday letter saying, oh, no, we didn't mean to say anything about it. We know he's going to testify Monday behind closed doors in the Oversight Committee. We weren't trying to step on that or do any kind of intimidation there. Wouldn't imply that. Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana's 4th District, who also serves on the Judiciary Committee, is joining us now on the broadcast, a good friend of the ACLJ. Congressman Johnson, thanks for joining us. You believe that this might actually indicate the need for the Judiciary Committee or the government, the Weaponization Committee, to come back to Washington during this recess to investigate the Department of Justice and this intimidation.
Hey, your voice. I did rises to the level, and we'll see what happens. Great, Archer has shown is going through the deposition as planned, but it certainly stinks to high heaven, guys. Look, this is not an isolated incident. As we well know, this DOJ has been weaponized. I mean, there's a long pattern of abuses. We've been detailing that in the House Oversight Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, everywhere we have jurisdiction, and it looks as though, I mean, pretty clearly on its face, the issuance of this letter on a Saturday, they're recanting basically on a Sunday, they were trying to intimidate the witness. It is witness intimidation. It's obstruction of a congressional investigation. And it's very, very serious business.
You know, Mike, it's mind-boggling to me. I've been practicing law for 43 years. That they do these things as if no one's going to pick up what's happening. So here you've got a lead witness in a congressional investigation that your committees are involved in. You serve on judiciary. This is a huge issue. It's Hunter Biden's business partner. He's already been convicted and has a 1-year sentence. All of us, they don't hear from him for months. All of a sudden, as soon as he acknowledges he got a subpoena and is going to testify, what happens? He comes up and says, I get a letter from the Department of Justice saying, hey, Judge, we need to get a reporting date for this guy because he hasn't filed his notice of appeal yet. And you know, we think he needs to go to start serving his prison sentence. Interestingly, during that same period, the next day in 24 hours, they have to, as you said, kind of pull it back. We talk about the weaponization of the Department of Justice. I'm very concerned also about this renewal of 702. You know, I supported the FISA court for a while, and I don't anymore because the FBI, unfortunately, can't be trusted with it. And we've seen the abuse, including colleagues of yours, a sitting U.S. senator, being surveilled without notice, without due process. I think we've got a real problem here. How do we get control of a runaway, dangerous bureaucracy?
This is the big question, Jay, and it keeps us up at night. I mean, we're in unprecedented times. It feels like we're living through a Tom Clancy novel or something right now, but it's real. It's actually happening. And you're right. The reauthorization, 702, is a huge issue. We are against the full reauthorization without serious reform because they've shown, as you noted, that they have abused that authority. But they've abused it in so many areas. I mean, in the Judiciary Committee, in the Weaponization Committee, I serve on both. We've been detailing this for the American people to see. The mainstream media, of course, is trying to cover it up. You got to go to alternative sources to find the facts. But at some point, the facts become so glaring that no one can avoid it anymore. I mean, clearly, Merrick Garland's DOJ is in on it. They're trying to cover for the First Family. You know, we just got this huge, really landmark federal court opinion out of Missouri v. Biden, the litigation down in the federal district court in Louisiana, on July 4th. And the judge says that if all these allegations are true and the evidence points to that, this is the most massive cover-up, the most massive attack on free speech in United States history. I mean, there's nothing of greater magnitude than this, and we have to change it. We have to force reform, whatever it takes to do that.
You know, we're expecting another indictment of the former president to come down as early as tomorrow. They've been saying it for a week now, from Special Counsel Jack Smith, this time on the January 6th matter. And I think this one could raise really serious, you know, I know you're a big advocate, as I am, of free speech and First Amendment. But the First Amendment doesn't just protect the freedom of speech. Of course, it protects the freedom of association, and it protects the right to petition your government for redress of the of agreements. And it seems like this Department of Justice is writing that out of the Constitution. What's your sense, Congressman?
They have no regard. Yeah, did I lose you?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can. We're having trouble. We're going to come back and see if we can get that fixed. But this is the problem. Yeah. By the way, I need to say this. I don't know what's going on YouTube, but a lot of people are watching on YouTube. I mean, share this with your friends right now. We got the congressman back. Congressman, yeah, this goes to the weaponization of these agencies.
It does indeed, Jay. And I was trying to say before I got it cut off there. It's my phone. Sorry. Look, this DOJ has no regard for the First Amendment at all. It's as if they don't even understand it. I mean, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, in front of us just a week ago, and he knows and that they were engaging in the cover up, in the censoring, the silencing, suppression of conservative Americans' free speech. I mean, these are in court records now. This isn't Republican talking point. And his agency, among many others, at least nine in the Biden administration, were engaged in this sort of whole of government approach to push down and suppress the voices they disagreed with. I mean, it's a blatant violation of the First Amendment. When I asked Secretary Mayorkas, just as one example in this administration, under oath, can you define what misinformation is since you created an entire agency, a sub-agency, to patrol that? Of course he can't do that. This is exactly what the founders were warning us against, that they feared that the government would be in a position one day to determine what is true and acceptable to be heard. That's why you and I have devoted most of our careers to defending that freedom. And it's imperiled right now more than it has ever been, Jay, and everybody can see it.
I you know, Congressman, I think it is true. And we're about to announce at the ACLJ tomorrow a really big initiative to stand up for those people that are trying to speak out and tell the truth, but are being threatened with unbelievable consequences for simply sharing their First Amendment rights. So we'll get into that. Congressman, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your work. Appreciate your efforts.
Yeah, I appreciate the congressman and some of his colleagues' efforts to return. You know, this idea that sometimes, yes, congressional recess is important because you get back to your constituency and you're able to meet with your voters and your constituents, but there's some of these issues. It feels like, you know, we talked about it, it's almost like we feel like we're always in a political campaign.
Yes.
It feels like you can't really let up on the, it's like.
Certainly not on these
issues. Can you really go away for a month anymore as Congress when you've got this abusive of a federal government?
And the answer to that is really no.
Because then they use that full month and they don't have to testify. They don't feel the pressure and they're not showing up at hearings and they're not having to comply. And, you know, then they kind of say, well, we'll kick the can down the road and maybe Americans won't care about this. I think, again, we understood the abuse that was taken by the federal government when the war on terrorism was turned into a war on Americans.
You're exactly right.
And that's unfortunate because we did rally together to say, you know what, we're going to do whatever it takes to defeat Islamic terrorism. We did, and then we need to now look at the laws that we put in place and said, you know what, they may have been right for a time and a season. We're out of that time and season.
Let's stay live during the break here for our social media platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, and a lot of you are, on Facebook and on Rumble, I want you to share this with your contacts and your friends. You know how to do that. And hit subscribe. If you're not subscribed to the ACLJ's channel, almost 300,000 of you are on YouTube. We want to get that audience increased even more. We have more people subscribed to that channel, I think, than CNN has in prime time. So we encourage you to do that. It's a great way to get the full hour of the broadcast because a lot of stations will carry the full hour, but a lot of them just carry the first half hour. Always, of course, SiriusXM has the full hour as well. ACLJ.org, Sirius, Rumble, YouTube, the great places to stay engaged with us. Of course, Twitter as well. But stay on here. I want to talk to you during the break. Those are watching on our social media platforms. For a radio audience, tell your friends to listen to this too. We're going to give you real analysis here from lawyers that have done these cases. This is a major, major issue. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Campaign at aclj.org. We'll be back with more in a moment. Those on our social medias.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, too. If you want to be part of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. I think what we learned, you know, from Congressman Johnson is, and Dad, what we have seen from the Department of Justice, this idea that they don't even care anymore if they get caught. It's like, you never send out letters on a Saturday, and now you do when there's a person testifying before Congress
about
Joe and Hunter, and the DOJ is working Saturdays and Sundays with letters to judges.
It is so obvious what the intent of that letter was. You've got a guy going in to testify to Congress who's the business partner of Hunter Biden. He's been sentenced for a year's sentence on an unrelated matter, not involving Hunter Biden, but it was a economic issue, economic crime. The Saturday before he goes in, within 48 hours of him appearing to testify before the House committees, he gets a letter saying, when are you going to report? Basically, we want that moving. We want that happening now. We got to get that moving. Now, Sunday comes, and the Department of Justice is getting so much pushback because it so obviously looks like witness tampering. They said, Your Honor, this has nothing to do with his. We want him to be able to testify before Congress, a co-equal branch of government. We're not trying to interfere with that. Nobody believes that for a minute. Because they do these actions, and then it speaks volumes.
Yeah, what do you think he's thinking about today while he's testifying?
What do you think his lawyer's thinking?
Right.
Put yourself in the lawyer's. You're trying to intimidate my guy before he testifies?
And they haven't even filed an appeal yet. He's still in the time frame to appeal. I mean, it's getting close, but they didn't need to send it on Saturday.
No, but
they could have sent it tomorrow.
But they can't resist.
No, they can't. And to me, it's like it's not that they want to get caught, but it's like they're flexing. They feel like it's what Chuck Schumer said about Trump when he said, if he tries to take on the intelligence community, they have six ways a Sunday to get you.
And they're trying.
And there are now members of Congress finally saying, you know what, this is not acceptable to have these bureaucracies running that totally out of control that aren't subject to the voters or the constituencies that put them there.
You know, we tell you, we monitor the comments that come in on our social media feeds. So we just got one from YouTube. And the comment is, I think that we need a petition for Congress to disband FISA. I was an advocate of FISA until the last several years, really when I started representing the former president during the whole Crossfire Hurricane thing. I saw the abuse of FISA. I said, okay, you can't have star chambers, no lawyers for the defense. That's outrageous in our country, in a constitutional republic. So I think that matter's over with, in my view.
They used it to go after Americans.
They're surveilling a sitting U.S. senator right now.
All the unmasking we learned about, this idea that the whole FISA system was put in place in constitutionally because it's supposed to be not people without American citizenship. And then they started identifying Americans who worked in foreign countries as foreign agents, and thus somehow you gave up your constitutional rights and you could be spied on under FISA.
I want to ask our audience two questions. Number one, you got all these indictments coming out against a former president. What's your reaction to that? How does it make you think electorally? 1-800-684-3110. And then we've been talking about this FISA abuse. I want to know if it's impacting, do you think it's time for it to go? We want to hear your comments on it. 1-800-684-3110. We've opened up all the phone lines. 800-684-3110, because we really want to hear from you. Now, I'm going to also tell you that tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the J Secular Band will be performing. We do this at the last day of our matching challenges for the month. That is this, that's today. So your support to the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Band will be performing at 8 o'clock. Did we find out what social media platforms we're on, Will? Yeah, we are. Facebook, Rumble, and YouTube. Probably ACLJ.org, too, I would think. So it's on all of our platforms. Subscribe right now if you haven't, wherever you're watching, and make sure you tune in tonight at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a blast, and we'll give you updates on cases. It's also a way to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. As I said, this is it. We're just hours away from the end of July match. We're behind where we want to be quite frank. So your support right now is critical. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And then tomorrow, Jordan, we've got a big announcement.
Yeah, that's right. So we want you definitely tuning in tomorrow and sharing this with your friends and family. A brand new announcement from the ACLJ. As we said, listening in, contacting our supporters, contacting our donors on where you want the ACLJ to focus in on. We've been listening. Now we're going to take action and launch tomorrow a brand new initiative. So you definitely want to be tuning into the broadcast as we launch that tomorrow on the Seculo broadcast. You can find out, again, what the ACLJ is, where we're refocusing because of you, because we've been listening to you, our supporters, who enable us to do this work. and help us meet that goal today at aclj.org with our Midnight Matching Challenge goal. Donate today, aclj.org. We have seen an escalation in the war in Ukraine, now war in Russia, and an escalation, this time drone attacks in Moscow in a business district over the weekend, multiple drone attacks. And instead of an outright denial, which in the past we'd seen by the Ukrainians saying, you know what, this is a false flag, this is the Russians trying to escalate a conflict. There were no injuries reported directly so far from these drone attacks on a, again, it was kind of a financial district over a weekend, but there was a new comment by President Zelensky of Ukraine, which does concern escalation. I want to play this. Rick Rennell's joining us right now, our senior advisor for national security and foreign policy. I want to play this bite for you, and then we'll go to Rick. Let's listen to President Zelensky.
Ukraine is getting stronger. Gradually, the war is returning to the territory of Russia, to its symbolic centers and military bases, and this is an inevitable, natural, and absolutely fair process.
So, Rick, I want to go to you right away. Again, it's not taking trying to take sides. Some people try to say it's pro-Russia to somehow want this conflict to come to an end. But what I don't think most Americans want is an escalation where now, you know, Moscow has come under attack, which could give a regime like Putin's the justification to escalate this conflict further.
Yeah, look, this is a red alert moment. We first need to be very clear that Putin has launched this war. I've been very clear that Democrats in the Senate and Joe Biden dropping the sanctions on Putin's pipeline signaled a big weakness. Remember that Putin has invaded Ukraine under Obama and under Biden, not under Trump. So we now have this crisis where Zelensky, who is receiving massive amounts of money from the American taxpayer, has come forward to say it is very fair to attack Moscow. We know that they've had drone attacks in Moscow, and now he's saying that it's fair game. And a military leader inside Ukraine was quoted by CNN as saying, "We're going to bring this war to the people in Moscow who think it's too far away." This is a clear escalation. When you attack Moscow like this, we need to be very clear that Putin, a madman, is going to do something crazy to protect Moscow. I am being very clear about this. This could be a warning for a nuclear attack. And where is the Biden administration? Where's the responsibility of the United States? We have sat on the sidelines as this war has escalated. Billions of dollars in American taxpayer money has gone to further this war. There is no peace agreement. Where is the Secretary of State? Where is the responsible parties in the White House? Why isn't Joe Biden talking about a peace plan to stop this escalation? This is a red alert, and I'm outraged that nothing is being done by this White House.
You know, Rick, we talked about this last week. We're in the broadcast. I'm concerned that there just appears to be no end in sight here. I mean, you've got this, you know, it's like the thousand-year wars. I mean, this is going to just continue. I think what former President Trump said when he was on that CNN town hall, and he said, you know how I'd end it? I'd end it because I don't want to see any more people getting killed. At this point, I mean, you know, I don't think there's a winner in this. It's not a question of winners and losers. It's now we got to bring an end to it. But you're right. You're a diplomat. The diplomacy, which is, by the way, diplomacy is war. Warfare can include diplomacy. Famous is Benjamin Disraeli quote. But you've got to actually engage in the diplomacy, and they're not doing it.
Look, I'm a firm believer that good diplomacy is very tough, hard to swallow. It is diplomats who are not trying to, you know, sip wine and eat nice meals, but you go in and you wrestle through an agreement that is not liked by either side, but pushes forward compromise and solutions. And it's very tough to do tough diplomacy, but we need to have diplomats who are willing to go into harm's way, go into the war zone and figure out how to do peace plans. This is outrageous. There is no peace plan. There's no options that the White House is considering because Anthony Blinken is literally going around and bowing to China.
Rick, I wanted to ask you this too, because you brought up, you said it's like a red alert moment. And yet I kind of feel like in our media now, we've gotten used to this conflict. It's kind of become a, I mean, in some sense, you know, Zelensky showing up in, you know, at celebrity filled events, and it's kind of, you know, it's people have got signs in their yard, and that's wonderful. And again, no one supports what Russia started here. But this idea that we kind of, we cannot shrug this one off the shoulders, because this is how the war ends up coming to the United States. Like you said, they take some kind of crazy action by a madman dictator, and suddenly the U.S. is directly gets engaged in this conflict.
You know, I couldn't understand over the weekend when we saw the drone attacks inside Moscow, why our media and why our political class in Washington, D.C. wasn't reacting more. You know, they've got the Ukrainian flags everywhere. It's a symbol of, you know, whether or not you're pro-communist or pro-Putin. People make fun of anyone who's trying to end this war. And I have to say, this is a true red alert moment for Americans, because when you start attacking inside Moscow to bring people to a conflict because you think they're too far away, what is next? This is an escalation. It is a red alert for us. And somebody of a mature nature, somebody who knows how to do diplomacy, needs to get into the White House and shake Joe Biden and say, we need to have a de-escalation and a peace plan, and America has a responsibility to put one forward.
I know you're still in Albania. I mean, these NATO allies, what is the sense for them? I mean, this is right on their back door. I know there's a lot of reliance on the United States to try and take a lead, but we even have reports of the Wagner Group now kind of reassembling and possibly trying to go into Poland, another NATO member. It's like they're trying to trigger the Article 5 response to escalate this conflict, or to see if we're willing to, I guess, abide by Article 5.
No, you're exactly right, Jordan. You hit it right on the head. They are inching us closer to a conflict with a NATO ally like Poland, constantly talking about border violence or pushing, you know, someone is going to just move into Poland and drag them in across the border just to be able to get a NATO response. This is what the escalation is doing. And I'll just say, you're right, I'm in Albania right now, which is a NATO ally. It's in the Balkans. And every leader in the Balkans is very nervous about getting dragged into this Ukrainian war. You look at what's happening inside Kosovo, and that is escalating. We've got more NATO troops going into Kosovo. This is a tinderbox if we don't start pushing forward ideas. And the White House's plan for the Balkans is to let Brussels lead, let the EU lead. And it's a disaster because it's analysis paralysis.
Rick, as always, we appreciate all of your insight. We thank you for joining us on the show. I mean, folks, I can't underscore enough the team that we've been able to assemble at the ACLJ, having Rick Rennell as part of our team, not just someone who can come on the air for you, which is very important, but that we can work with on a daily basis over the weekend as this news is breaking, so that we're able as an organization, whether it's the international work that we do, our offices overseas, all because of your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. So I encourage you on this final day of our matching challenge, we come back, we're take your phone calls, we're going to talk Trump, we're going to talk the legal issues, the filings. So I know we got a lot of calls on that, the Biden testimony and Hunter, Devin Archer, all of that. So we're going to take your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110. But it would be remiss of me to say, you know, this is our final day of our July matching challenge. These are very important months for us financially at the ACLJ. It's how we, again, bring the broadcast together, the legal teams, the policy teams, the overseas teams, the work in Israel, the work in Europe. It's all the work in Pakistan, all because of your financial support of the ACLJ. We also want to continue to expand that work, not just stay where we are, which is a great sized organization, but continue to grow the organization. It's because of you, our supporters. So we encourage you to be part of that matching challenge with that midnight deadline tonight. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And also tomorrow, for everybody who's tuning in today, whether you're tuning in on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, or online on Facebook, YouTube, or Rumble, you don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. We've got a brand new announcement and a brand new initiative to launch from the American Center for Law and Justice. We've been going to you, our donors, and talking to you about the issues that are most important to you. We're going to bring them front and center with a brand new ACLJ initiative that we are launching tomorrow on Seculo. So you want to tune in, certainly, if you are joining our broadcast. And folks, again, support the work of the ACLJ. I want you to go online right now at aclj.org. Make that donation today. Be part of our matching challenge. We got one phone line open for you. 1-800-684-3110. Do you want to weigh in on the Trump legal matters? Devin Archer, the FISA court, the election. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. But be part of that midnight matching challenge tonight. Every donation matters for us to hit our goal at aclj.org. Take your phone calls, and again, we talked about a lot of issues. We're going to talk about different issues right now on the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110.
I got to say this on our social media platforms right now. We're getting a lot of viewers on especially Rumble and YouTube. If you are not subscribed or following us, we ask you to do that. Between Rumble and YouTube, we have 450,000 subscribers. You add, you know, Facebook to that, and I think it's probably another. Probably up to 700,000 or 800,000. So if you're watching right now, we encourage you to subscribe now on any of the official channels, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. We encourage you to do that. All right. We're going to take some calls.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Joe in Delaware, online one. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, I'm very concerned that Donald Trump can't sneeze without getting indicted by the Justice Department. Meanwhile, the Justice Department can't even meet the statute of limitations on millions upon millions of money taken in by Hunter Biden. And I believe it's a total fix. And I believe the DOJ has been completely corrupted by this family. And we need to get to the bottom of it.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to have to answer these questions, Joe. I know that, which we just had on Congressman Mike Johnson, who serves on Judiciary and the Weaponization Committee as well. And they're not going to take no answer as an answer. And we're working with Congress as well, because here's the reality. Letting the statute of limitations, I was an IRS lawyer for my beginning of my career, and that was like the first thing we looked at, was what is the statute of limitations here? How much time do we have to bring the case? In the Biden case, it's, I don't know how they explain it away. It's so bizarre that they let a statute of limitations, that's like textbook 101 criminal procedure, but they did. So this goes back to the two-tier system of justice. That's the reality of what we're dealing with. You know, Bob McDonald, the former governor of Virginia, and we helped him at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, but also at the Supreme Court case where we won. Got it. He was prosecuted by the same prosecutor, Jack Smith. Brought an indictment against he and his wife, and he was convicted. Went to the Supreme Court of the United States. We won 9-0. The most liberal members of the Supreme Court said the interpretation of the law that Jack Smith was putting forward, the theory of the government's case, was outside the bounds of the law. And they were reversed unanimously. And this is, by the way, who Merrick Garland picks to run this. But take a listen.
I think he's just overzealous. I think he doesn't do an honest look at the law to see if the facts apply to the law. And so he'd rather win than get it right. And I think that's maybe some of the influence we see now and some of the decisions he's making in the current cases. And that's why the Supreme Court of the United States said, look, you got it completely wrong. It's not only boundless, but you catch up the ordinary things that political figures do with constituents every day in the country, and you put everybody at risk with your view of the law. So that's a caution.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Bob McDonald. We've seen it, Bob Menendez. We've saw even John Edwards. All these cases, you get convictions and then
overturned
or hung juries.
Or not guilty.
Yeah.
And so he's very good at bringing indictments. He's
bringing indictments or trying to get the initial win, but ultimately when they're here on appeal, it's like, well, you're telling the jury a crime that didn't exist.
Let me tell you something, though. This is looking like a pile-on, okay?
Yeah, we were talking about this. I mean, this is not... This is like mob leaders don't deal with... Don't deal with four different... Two state charges, two local DAs, and a federal... A special counsel who's bringing charges against you in multiple jurisdictions at the same time.
No, unprecedented in U.S. history.
So, and they're criticizing they're spending money on legal teams.
I saw that over the weekend. I can't believe he's raising money for legal defense. Why? And that includes some of his people that work for him.
I'm kind of thinking, like, why is Ron DeSantis criticizing Donald Trump for defending himself against the weaponized DOJ that he's running ads about?
Right.
So they're all running ads about it, but oh my God, Donald Trump's having to spend money, which, by the way, most people would not have the money to spend.
Not for this kind of legal fees.
Again, like you say, the worst criminals in the world don't deal with... El Chapo not dealing with four different jurisdictions.
Nope.
Two state, two federal, all different, by the way.
Yep.
So people ask, like, what motion would you file? I've done those interviews. Which case are you talking about? Which issue in the case? Which charge are you talking about? Which count? I mean, there's 37 in one of them. How many is going to be in D.C.? How many are going to be something you could appeal just off the First Amendment? I mean, all these issues... we saw the one in New York that got panned completely. What's going to happen in Georgia? I mean, this is not normal. This is not. It's just like the letter going to the DOJ on a Saturday.
So transparent what they're doing. All right, let's go ahead and take Jeff's call out of North Carolina. Jeff, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. As far as the indictments against Donald Trump from an election standpoint,
yep.
This is making me support Donald Trump like I have never before supported him. And as far as FISA goes, Jay and Jordan, it's time for FISA to go, because it is absolutely outrageous what they are doing to American citizens. Because if they can do it to a sitting U.S. senator, they can do that to you and me.
This is why I'm done with Star Chambers. I'm with Star Chamber being, a judicial proceeding with no defense lawyers. Okay? I don't even like the fact that the grand juries don't have defense lawyers in them. I think that's ridiculous for the witness going in there. Enough of this. Okay? We really believe in due process of law. Let's start acting like it. And I think that's part and parcel. It was a very good comment, Jeff. Thanks for calling. And let's go back to the phones.
Yeah. Dee Dee in Colorado on Live 5. Hey, Dee Dee.
Hi. I just wanted to say, as Americans, the most important thing we can do is to tell our friends and neighbors to support ACLJ, number one, and then also to be listening to your broadcasts and to spread the word and help people get educated in the truth. And then the next thing we need to do is to also make sure that we are doing everything we can with the electronic availability that we have to talk to people, to spread the word, email blasts.
Jordan, coming up with the election, I mean, you've run presidential campaigns.
I think we're at a time where we have to unite, and it's more than just conservatives uniting. It's a lot of Americans uniting to say, this is not our country. We don't allow war to break out in Europe. We're not going to have Poland brought in again through a war. You want to go through the history books, that's World War II. And we're talking about that today like legitimately might happen. A Russian mercenary group going into Poland, triggering Article 5 of NATO, seeing if we really will put our money where our mouth is on NATO in a post-World War II world. Do we really want to have a full-scale conflict with Russia? Do you want your kids to grow up in that country? Do you want your kids to grow up in a country where China's the world's leader, not the United States? But it's a country. I don't think you want to be discouraged. I think what one thing is, Dad, is this isn't the 1950s. The government can't get away with this stuff
anymore. No, they're not getting away with it.
They used to get away with it.
Between the media and then groups like the American Center for Law and Justice that shine a light on this and get to the... But we're already in federal court with the FBI on this stuff. We knew this was coming. I mean, you could just tell. You knew this for the last 6 years. That's why your support of the ACLJ is so critical, as we're in the last day of our matching challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Now, let me tell you something else. Tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Jay Sekulow Band Concert. You can watch it on Facebook, YouTube, or on Twitter. I don't know if we're putting it up on Twitter yet, the long form, not yet, but Facebook, Rumble, and YouTube, and of course, ACLJ.org. Support our work, and we've got a big announcement tomorrow We've heard from you, our members, and we know the issues that matter most. And we're going to be making a big announcement on that tomorrow.
So you definitely want to tune into the broadcast tomorrow. Share it with your friends and family. ACLJ.org. Yeah, subscribe on whatever your favorite channel is to watch the broadcast and take part in it. Subscribe there. ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Deadline midnight tonight.